Good evening. I'm thankful to have another opportunity to speak. We need to keep John in our prayers and look forward to him coming back Wednesday night, Lord willing. But in the meantime, we'll have a lesson for tonight. We'll begin in Ephesians chapter 5. You might remember that we, in our previous lesson, had a lesson concerning our singing and how we can excel to the edifying of the body of Christ through our singing. And so we want to continue that because there is really a tremendous amount that the Scriptures teach us concerning our singing. Tonight we want to maybe refresh ourselves a little bit from that first lesson, but then focus on God's deliverance and His salvation and how that is one of the major ways that we are to remember Him in our singing. And we'll, Lord willing, look through a number of different examples in the Scriptures of examples of where one's sang in relation to that deliverance that God gave. But just to review a little bit, in Ephesians chapter 5, we remember the verses here concerning our singing. Beginning in verse 15, he says here, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." We want to realize as we read this passage and go through some of the other passages is that singing is not just something that we do when we come together in our assemblies. It's something that we do at all times. And there are many, many situations where it may be appropriate for us to sing. But we see here in verse 19 that one of the ways that the Lord wants us to interact with each other is through our singing. And he says specifically there, speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So, of course, we understand that these aren't just any words that we're singing. These are very special words. They're spiritual songs. They're psalms. And, of course, we have many, many psalms that have been given to us in the Scriptures. And Lord willing, we'll read a number of those tonight. But this is one of the ways that we are to be speaking with one another is through these different songs. And we need to be, as he says there, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. So as we know and as we've just finished singing some songs, we realize that when we sing, it does need to be from the heart, that we need to be considering the words that we're singing. Of course, as we sing those, we need to make sure that they are scriptural words, or the words that we find from the Lord. And again, we'll see many examples in the Scriptures that we can learn from to help us to improve in our singing. One example that we can be reminded of where, you know, when we make the point that it's not just in our assemblies that we sing, well, we could think back to Acts chapter 16 where we read the account of Paul and Silas there in the Philippian prison. What was one of the things that happened there when they were in prison? Well, there in verse 25, it notes there that at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Now, we remember that this was after they had been beaten. Looking back up in verse 23, it says, "Many stripes had been laid upon them." So imagine yourself here being in this prison. You've been beaten by the officials and thrown into this inner prison. Your feet are in the stocks. Would that be a time that you would naturally think would be a time to sing? Well, it should be, shouldn't it? And we see that exactly happening here. And we see Paul and Silas praying. We see them singing praises to God. And we would also likely infer that they were also looking for God's deliverance. And perhaps that was also a part of their singing. that night. In Matthew chapter 26, there in verse, so Jesus was there together with the disciples just before they went over to the Mount of Olives, and he was speaking there and teaching with his disciples. But notice one of the very last things that they did before they left and went over to the Mount of Olives. It says there in verse 30, when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. So he had been there with his disciples. Of course, he was also teaching there in this particular context concerning the Lord's Supper. But of course, we also know that Jesus was speaking and teaching around this time concerning his not being long for being on this earth, and that he was going to be leaving shortly. And so we see one of the things that they did naturally as a course of their being together as brethren was that they were singing songs as they did here. Now, we're not told exactly what they sang about at this time, but we do know what was getting ready to happen. And we know that Jesus understood what was getting ready to happen, the great trial that was awaiting him that he was going to have to endure. But he also understood about the things that the disciples were going to have to endure as well. Luke chapter 22, we remember where Jesus told Peter, he says, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. And John chapter 17, where Jesus was praying to the Father that he would keep the disciples. And so perhaps part of what they sang about in that song was faith and being delivered from the things that they were getting ready to have to face here. Psalm 37, let's turn there. We'll see in general that the Lord is the one who is going to deliver the righteous. As we think about that, what we just discussed there with Jesus getting ready, they're getting ready to go to that garden. As we know, the disciples are going to be tested there. Jesus is going to be in prayer to the Father to be delivered from what is to come. Psalm 37, verses 39 and 40, it says here, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord, and he is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. So as we consider singing these songs of deliverance, and there's a number of different forms of deliverance, as we'll see here in some of the examples that we look at. But as we think about the fact that the Lord delivers whom? He delivers, it says here, the righteous. Salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. The Lord shall help them and deliver them from the wicked, it says here. And so we need to be encouraged by that, knowing that if we are faithful to the Lord in serving him, that he is faithful in keeping his promises, and that he is going to deliver the righteous. And there are many different times that we need to be requesting God's deliverance, both in our prayers, but in our songs as well. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, when we talk about songs of deliverance, this is maybe one example where it's just literal, a song of deliverance. And we'll see what we mean by that as we read here. But in the context here, Jehoshaphat is coming to fight a battle against Ammon and Moab and Seir. But we notice some special things about this particular battle. In verse 17, the Lord says, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. So he starts out here in verse 17 by noting that you won't need to fight in this battle. Well, we might wonder, what kind of a battle is that where you're not going to be fighting? And so he gives them their instructions that they need to simply stand still and see the salvation of the Lord that he is going to bring for them. And we'll read the next few verses down through verse 22. It says that Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. So we notice here that at the particular instant that the children of Israel here began to sing and to praise, as it says there in verse 22, that what happened? Well, at that instant, it says, the Lord set these ambushments against these enemies, and that they were smitten, they were defeated. So, no, the Israelites here did not fight in this battle. What did they do? They sang, and it was literally a song of deliverance for them, because as they began that song, the Lord at that time defeated their enemies for him. In Psalm 7, we see another psalm here, and this one is one of David. In verse 1 here, it notes that it is a Shagahian. I can't say that very well. It's literally a type of poem here of David. And it was written, it says, "When he sang unto the Lord concerning the words of Cush the Benjamite." And it begins by saying, "O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me." And then he, for lack of not having time to read through all of these psalms tonight, we'll skip down to verse 17. He says, but we remember that this whole psalm is a psalm that David sang concerning this particular person, this Cush, the Benjamite, who was persecuting him. And so he sang this psalm concerning that situation. In verse 17, he says, "I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High." So here we see an example where David was singing concerning the deliverance from one of his enemies, Cush the Benjamite. And he sings this song to the Lord in that situation. Of course, there's more to be said there in verses 3 to 5. It speaks there concerning David doing right before the Lord. And of course, remember what we just read earlier, where it says the salvation of the Lord is to the ones who are righteous, and that he is going to deliver them. Well, David mentions that here in this psalm, that he has kept the Lord's ways. In verse 10, he talks about the Lord being his defense. And verses 11 through 16, he talks there about how the Lord is going to punish the wicked. And then he concludes with what we read there in verse 17, how the Lord, how David said, "I will praise the name of the Lord Most High." But we see here another example of a psalm that is speaking specifically concerning that deliverance that the Lord gives from our enemies. And, of course, we may have different enemies in different forms, but there are those that do persecute us in different ways, aren't there? And we should be remembering when we have those kinds of situations arise, not only do we need to be praying, but we need to be singing as well, and remembering the Lord's salvation and deliverance that he gives to the righteous. David did this again in Psalm 18. We'll look at a few verses here. Again, this whole psalm is concerning the situation where David was delivered from Saul and from his enemies. In verse 1, he says that. He says, "To the chief musician a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. We might recognize some of these words because they're from a psalm that we sing regularly. But we might remember when we sing that psalm that this was in the context of David being delivered from Saul and his enemies. And did David wait to thank the Lord later? Well, no. We note there in verse 1 that it says he spoke unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of his enemies. You know, David understood who was bringing about these things and who was bringing about this deliverance and these blessings. And David, on that day, remembered that and sang this psalm to the Lord in thanksgiving for that deliverance. There are many times in our lives where the Lord has given us a deliverance in some form or fashion, and we need to remember right there to stop and to give that thanks that is due His name when He gives us those blessings, just as David did so here. Continuing on for just a few verses, in verses 4 through 6, it says, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. So we see him also going back a little bit about leading up to this point in time and how what a dire situation it was for David, where he says the sorrows of death had compassed him. They were surrounding him. He describes it there in verse 4 as these floods of ungodly men who made him afraid. And verse 5, the sorrows of hell that were compassing him about. And what did he do when he was in those situations? Well, he says there in verse 6, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. And he says, he heard my voice out of his temple. So again, this is the point in time where he's now singing this psalm as a praise and thanksgiving for that deliverance that the Lord gave to him after all of these persecutions and after all of this trouble had surrounded and flooded David for such a long time. If we go down to verse 46, toward the end of this psalm, he says here, the Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. So here David is exalting God and praising him for that salvation that he has given David. Verse 47, he says, it is God that avenges me and subdues the people under me. He delivers me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Great deliverance gives he to his king, and shows mercy to his anointed, to David, and to his seed forevermore. So David here is giving this thanks and singing these praises to the name of the Lord for this great deliverance, as he notes there in verse 50. And indeed, it was a great deliverance. If we think back through all those things that Saul and these men, mighty men of valor, as they were referred to in the scriptures, as they were pursuing after David, these thousands of soldiers coming after to take David's life, over and over and over, they were after him. And, if we were looking at that from a purely human perspective, we might say, well, there's no one who could stand a chance against this continual pursuit that was happening. Sooner or later, they're going to get him. But of course, we understood that the Lord was on David's side, and David understood that. And so David now was singing this psalm in praise and thanksgiving for that deliverance. We could look in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 to see another type of situation where the Lord had blessed the people and where they sang psalms concerning this situation. Here, this particular situation is when the ark of the Lord returned into the city of David. So it had been taken by the Philistines in a previous battle. And now the ark of the Lord was being returned now to the city of David. And again, we see that there's not a delay in remembering to praise the Lord for the good that he is doing. And so in verse 7 here it says, "Then on that day David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord." So once again, this great blessing of the ark now coming back to be with the Israelites, David delivered this psalm to Asaph to be sung amongst the Israelites. And what was the purpose there? It was to give thanks for the Lord and for the great deeds that he had done among the people, his wondrous works as it described there. And there in verse 10, there was great rejoicing amongst the people because the Lord's ark and his covenant had returned back with the people. And so it was a time of rejoicing and thanksgiving by the Israelites. And so they made that known through these through this psalm. A few verses down in verse 23, it says there, "Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods." And then in verse 29, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." And then in verse 34, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." All through this psalm that they're singing to the Lord, they're praising him for his greatness and for the glory that is due him for all of these wondrous works that he's done and for the salvation and deliverance that they have received from him. In 2 Chronicles chapter 29, we see another situation where the people were singing praise to the Lord. And it was another situation where there had been a long period where they had not been following the Lord the way that they should have been. And so the context here is when Hezekiah had the house of the Lord repaired and restored. In verses 1 and 2, it says, "Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old, and he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them." So right from the very beginning of his reign, we see here that Hezekiah understood that the house of the Lord, those doors needed to be opened back up and that they needed to be serving the Lord in the right manner. And so he brought together the Levites and began to establish the things that they needed to do. In verse 5, he told the Levites that they needed to sanctify themselves in the house of the Lord. And so as they did that, and as they repaired that house of the Lord, and as they reestablished the way that the Lord had set for them to be serving him, it was a time of rejoicing and a time to be thankful for these things that had been restored. And so we see down in verse 27, it says here, Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. And all the congregation worshipped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded. And all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they had made an end of offering, the king and all that were present with him bowed themselves and worshipped. Moreover, Hezekiah, the king, and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David and Asaph the seer. And they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshipped. This was a time of gladness. It was a time of again, the Lord's ways being reestablished in the nation of Israel. And so it was a time for everyone to come together and to be glad and to rejoice over that and to sing these praises to the Lord. And, of course, we need to think about those times as well when we see the Lord's ways being done, maybe. We can think about, as Brother John was talking about in the class this morning, or the lesson, that our nation has really kind of taken some bad directions in the last several years. But wouldn't it be a good thing to see many turning back to the Lord and serving the Lord and turning away from the wickedness that is going on today? So, you know, hopefully that's going to happen at some point. And what is our response going to be if that does happen? And what should we be praying for now? You know, just as these few examples we've seen so far, you know, we need to be praying for deliverance from these wicked men that are really ruling in many, many places on this earth at this point. We need to be praying to the Lord for deliverance from these wicked people. And when the Lord delivers us, what do we need to be remembering to do when the Lord delivers the righteous? We need to be remembering to give him the glory and the thanks that is due his name for working these things. We see this happening with the children of Israel, at least in a couple of instances. One is in Nehemiah chapter 12, when the children of Israel had been carried away captive into Babylon. They were there for 70 years, and now the Lord was beginning to bring them back to Jerusalem after that captivity. And we know from the book of Nehemiah how Nehemiah came and they restored and built back that wall. And in Nehemiah chapter 12, again, this is a situation where the Israelites had been gone for literally decades, right? 70 years. And now we're seeing the Lord's people coming back to the city that the Lord had established for them. And it was a time of rejoicing. And so picking up in verse 26 here, we see the response of the people as this wall has been rebuilt now. And we see their reaction. In verse 26, it says, "These were in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and in the days of Nehemiah the governor, and of Ezra the priest, the scribe. And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem, to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and with singing, with cymbals, psalteries, and with harps. And the sons of the singers gathered themselves together, both out of the plain country round about Jerusalem and from the villages of Netophathi, and also from the house of Gilgal and out of the fields of Geba and Asmaveth. For the singers had builded them villages round about Jerusalem." So this was a time of rejoicing for them, and it was a time, as it says here, for the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was now being rebuilt so that God's people could return. And so there was gladness in their hearts in this time. And so there in verse 27, it notes how they kept this dedication with gladness, with this singing. And we should consider when those types of situations come up where we see a good work having been done, we need to come together with rejoicing in the good that represents and has been brought about by the Lord. When the people themselves came back from Babylon, we see this as another time where they sang psalms. In Psalm 126, we'll read verses 1 through 6 here concerning them coming back from Babylon to Jerusalem. It says here, a song of degrees. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goes forth and weeps, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So we see here, it says, when this captivity turned again, and we're coming back, it says their mouth was filled with laughter, their tongue with singing, and that they were rejoicing and glad in the things that the Lord had done for them. And we need to be, again, remembering the Lord when these things happen, and singing needs to be a natural way in which we respond to the Lord in thanksgiving and praise when these types of things happen. In Psalm 9, we see another psalm of David here, and David praising the Lord for being one who is our refuge and one who will help us in our times of trouble. In verse 9 of Psalm 9, it says here, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. When he makes inquisition for blood, he remembers them. He forgets not the cry of the humble. So there in verse 11, concerning these times of trouble, David noted there in verse 9 that God is a refuge in times of trouble. In verse 11, that we need to be singing praises to him, knowing that the Lord will deliver the righteous from of these troubles, and that he is not going to forget the cries of those who are humble, as he notes there in verse 12. In Psalm 30, we see another time where David praises the Lord. In Psalm 30, verses 11 and 12, he says, thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. So here, this particular context for this psalm was during the dedication of the house of David. And here David talks about his great gladness during this time, and how in verse 12 he is going to sing praise to the Lord and give him that thanksgiving for these great blessings. But we also note here that it says David has put off his sackcloth. Well, what is sackcloth used for? Well, we know from the scriptures that this is something that the people did when they were humbling themselves before the Lord and coming before him in prayer and making requests. And so we see again another connection to this humility that we need to have when we remember the Lord and the deliverance he provides. We need to remember that we need to humble ourselves, and that we need to be recognizing who we are and who he is, and how we are nothing without him, and how we will be consumed without him, and how we will be lost without him and will not have any salvation. And so we need to put things into perspective, so to speak, and have that humility and be recognizing that the Lord is working all of these things, and be praising him in our prayers and in our singing when we these things come about. One of the we just have a few minutes left. We'll look here briefly in Isaiah 42. Perhaps one of the greatest blessings of deliverance is concerning Christ and the deliverance that Christ is going to give to those who will follow him. Isaiah 42 is a prophecy of Christ concerning how he is going to show the way to the Father to the Gentiles. In verse 1 there, speaking of Christ, it says, "He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." In verse 3, it says, "A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth." And so this chapter in Isaiah here is prophecy concerning Christ, who is going to be coming, showing that light to the Gentiles and showing that way, bringing judgment and showing righteousness to the Gentiles. In verse 6, he says, "I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house." And of course, we could go to the New Testament and see where this prophecy is being referred to in the New Testament concerning Jesus. And so we have this prophecy, but right in the middle of this prophecy of Jesus coming to show this light to the Gentiles, in verse 10 there it says, "Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth, you that go down to the sea and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rock sing, let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands." So we see here in this prophecy that he also says, what do we need to be doing as we consider this prophecy and what Jesus was going to bring and this deliverance, this light that he was going to show to the Gentiles. Well, here in verse 10, he says, "We need to sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise from the end of the earth." We might remember from our first lesson on singing, the earlier lesson that we read some passages in Revelation concerning that the new song, and that there's so many things that the Lord does for us that are new, and the things that we need to be considering that the Lord provides. And here's yet another one of those examples in that he brought about this prophecy that he was going to send his son to bring this deliverance. And so as a part of that, he says, "We need to sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise from the end of the earth." There's so many examples through the scriptures of the Lord providing his deliverance and his salvation to us. And we need to consider all of these, whether it's at a small scale with us individually, or as we just read here concerning Christ and him bringing a light to the entire world. We need to think about the Lord's work at every level, and we need to be singing about that in our songs, praising him and glorifying him for his goodness. We'll conclude here one more passage in Psalm 27. I'm sorry, Psalm 147. We'll read verse 1 and keep in mind here how we need to be thinking of the Lord and ready to praise him in everything. Psalm 147 and verse 1, he says here, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely." Praise is suitable. We think about the many, many ways in which the Lord blesses us and delivers us, and we need, as it says here, to be singing these praises unto our God. He says, "This is pleasant, and it is comely." It is suitable for us to do this. And so I hope we all will be encouraged to consider how singing needs to be a very regular part of our lives, not just in our assemblies, but outside of our assemblies as well, and how we need to be speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and we need to be singing of these things that we've studied about tonight. So I hope we will all be encouraged to do this. Getting ready to sing another song, and we offer this as a time of opportunity for any who are here tonight who have not yet put on Christ in baptism, who have not yet begun to follow him, to follow that light that leads to the Father. If you're subject to that invitation, we would love for you to make that known. And if there's any here tonight who need to come forward to request the prayers of the congregation for any need, we also offer this as the time for you to make that known as well. So let's all stand and sing together.